Could we kneel together to pray? Lord, you've heard the songs, the prayers that we've been raising to your throne today. Lord, we know you're looking down upon us. We know that you're looking for those who have their hearts turned towards you. And just now, we choose to humble ourselves. We choose to lay aside our own way, our own desires, our own will. And God, help us all to surrender every area of our life to you. We ask that you would come and fill us anew and afresh with your Spirit this morning. We ask for continued speaking to us as we look at the Word of God, as we look at your work in our hearts. Just come. I ask that you would give me clear thoughts and a burden. Help me to communicate. Lord, would you take these things way beyond what my thoughts have been or are? And I ask, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, just bring all these things together in a beautiful way. Lord, I ask that for those who are not with us, we ask, Lord, for Ruth Martin, as she's in Arkansas, for Miriam, as she's in Bolivia. We ask, God, that you would be with our brothers and sisters across the world. Would you be with our brothers and sisters locally? Would you be with our brothers and sisters who are not able to be here this morning? Lord, I ask that you would just come. Lord, we need you very much, and we ask for your grace upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title this morning is very simply The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God. And there's many pictures that went through my mind as I considered what happens in our life when we pursue God, when we pursue God. I maybe want to start out with just simply talking about a pursuit. Can anyone tell me what a pursuit is? What's a pursuit? Chasing something. Others, what's a pursuit? Going after. What's a pursuit? Heart set on something. What's a pursuit? Putting your all in. Seeking for something. What's a pursuit? Letting go of something in order to get what you want. Good. Those things are very good. Maybe I'll start this morning by giving you a little illustration or a little story to help us understand a pursuit. There is a man that I know quite well, and he attends here in this church regularly. He works up close to Winesburg, between Winesburg and Berlin, a little shop there. It's a little mini barn shop. And his father and his brothers are in the shed industry. He originates from down in southern Ohio, Kentucky area. He originates down there. And he has over the years talked about moving down south again. He's had those discussions. We've talked about it various times. But he was simply open to God in what he has for him. Well, some time ago, he received a phone call. And the phone call that he received was of a person down in Tennessee looking for someone that would possibly build sheds for him. And of course, it sparked his interest. That's what he's done all his life, right? Now, when he received this phone call, and if you could just think with me, we're talking about a pursuit, right? We're talking about a pursuit. When he received this phone call, he started asking questions to better understand what it was all about. Now, he wouldn't have had to, right? He wouldn't have had to. But he started asking questions about what this was all about. He wanted a deeper understanding. So he asked questions. But he wouldn't have had to ask more questions. As he understood more about it, he made a decision to go down into Tennessee, into an area that would be a likely area where maybe there would be some workers, some people who would like to work for him. Now, he wouldn't have had to do that. But, right? He had a pursuit. So, he drove down Tennessee one day on a Saturday, and he drove through a likely area where maybe something could potentially work out. And as he was driving along with his family, there are some people beside the road, and he stopped his car. He stopped his little gray minivan and started talking with him. Now, he wouldn't have had to do all that. Why was he doing it? He had a pursuit, right? He had a pursuit. I mean, why wasn't he just sitting at home in his easy chair? Why wasn't he sitting at home on his little tractor, doing some things at home? He drove all the way down to Tennessee because he had a pursuit. Well, he asked a lot of questions, and a day later, he discovered that there's four or five people that would just be delighted to work for him. Well, the story goes on that he asked a lot of advice. He made phone calls. He's trying to understand. He's trying to look into the future. He's trying to sort his way through it, and he asked a lot of advice. Now, he wouldn't have had to ask advice, but, he has a what? What does he have? A pursuit. He has a pursuit. He asked a lot of advice. He talked to a banker. He talked to various people who are connected, trying to understand. And he made quite a number of trips. Driving down to Tennessee, that's not just a little undertaking. It takes hours of driving and you have to stop the van and put gas into it, and you get tired. And I all about that, right? But he had a pursuit. Well, even this morning, he's in Tennessee. He's going to a little church there, and he's been asking a lot of questions. He's looking for a place to fellowship, and he's asking questions, and that's where he's at this morning. Why is he doing all that? Isn't it because he has a pursuit? I wonder what it would look like for all of us in this place to have a pursuit of God. Now, I'm not saying we don't, but I wonder how it would look if all of us would have a pursuit of God. Many become converted and do what they know is right. They do what the Bible says. They do a lot of good things. But I wonder how it would look if there would be a real pursuit after God. I wonder how that would look. I wonder how it would look if there would be a pursuit to know Jesus, to have more of Jesus, and to become more like Jesus. I wonder how that would look. I wonder if we would all have a high pursuit of God Himself. I wonder how that would look. I wonder how that would look. Now, I was asking for various definitions for what pursuit means. There are, if you look up the word, there are various definitions. Chasing, following after, all those kind of things. And if you look in Scripture and you look out at the examples that are given, there's various things that word is used. But one of the definitions here for the word simply means to follow after, to aim, and to secure. I like that definition. I really like that. Really like that. So there's four things this morning. Very simply, there's a lot more things that I could have put down here, but there's four things that I would like to look at in our pursuit of God. There's four things I'd like to put out here. And before we get down to the end, in the end, what I have, and if you have a piece of paper, maybe you want to make a note of these four things. Because in the end, I would like for each one of us to take these four things and evaluate ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10 where we're at on each one of these. Now, it's not for myself, it's not for anyone here, it's for you and God, right? After we're finished here, I'd like for all of us to just have that evaluation, that we look at it and we examine ourselves where we're at on our pursuit of God and how far we've come and what that pursuit is doing for each one of us in our personal life. Now, the first one is a pursuit to know God, or the holiness of God. A pursuit to know the holiness of God. And I know that could be sort of I'm not sure what we think of when we think about the holiness of God. Let me say it this way. The beliefs that we carry about the holiness of God will very clearly shape the way that we function in our everyday life and our tolerance of sin. I don't know if you follow that. The way that we view the holiness of God will largely shape our everyday life and our tolerance for sin. And so, when we think about understanding the holiness of God And what I'm trying to do here is helping us shape a mental picture and try to understand how God views sin. Because if we have a right heart and right understanding of this, it'll shape our life. It'll shape the way we live every day. It'll shape our life. And if I could say it this way, if we have a pursuit of God, the more we understand how God thinks, how he functions, it'll come down to where it'll shape our life and our everyday life in every area. In every area. Our understanding of God, who he is and what he thinks about many, many different things. And I'd like to first look at the holiness of God. Now, to understand God's view of holiness, one of the best gauges to understanding it is look at what God does about sin. I don't know if you follow that. God's judgment on sin. Now, I think all of us are very familiar with hell, future life, and all that. But how does God view many, many sins? Adultery, lying, all those kind of things. How does he view that, and how does that affect us? Okay? Now, if I could just say this way, if we would exercise what I just described about one of our dear brothers here, and we would take this subject of holiness, and we go into Scripture and try to understand how God thinks, how he responds, how he works in us when these things are in place and are not in place, and we understand all that, you know, that's my goal. Because if we have a right understanding of this, it'll affect our life. Now consider with me on this subject of the holiness of God. I like to just look at Scripture. In Scripture, there's many, many, many places that describe the judgment of God. But I'd like to only give us one this morning. I'd like to give us one of how God viewed sin and how God judged sin. And if we would have this level of fear in our hearts and understanding, and we would walk in that way, how it would affect us. And I'm only going to give one. There's lots and lots that we can look at. But I'd like for us to think of an account given in Scripture, and it was a New Testament church. This happened in a New Testament church. This was not Old Testament. This was not with the kings when the Holy Spirit wasn't given. This was a New Testament account where the people had the Holy Spirit just like we do. It's an account where there was people were preached to, they repented, they got baptized. There was brotherhood, okay? This is a brotherhood scenario, just like we have here. And all of us, you know, there are some newer ones here, but all of us, we know each other fairly well, or we're getting to know each other well, right? Okay? And there's heartstrings and heart connections and all these things, all these dynamics here in our brotherhood. This is the setting that this judgment happened that I want to talk about. But in this New Testament church, there was a man who made a decision to share with the brotherhood. In that day, there was various ones that were coming and bringing some of their extra goods. And so... So what he did is he went and sold a parcel of land, and he brought it to the church. And I don't know how all that would have looked, but just consider our brotherhood here this morning. He brought a parcel of land or he sold it, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. I'm not sure how that looked. I don't know, was it in the form of money? Obviously some money. I'm not sure how that would have looked. But he came and put it down at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, did you sell the land for that amount? And what did Ananias say? Yes, I did for that amount. Now, what if I were that brother, Ananias? What if I was that brother, Ananias? Me. And I lied to the Holy Ghost, and I lied to the people in that way. And Peter addressed him. He knew that Ananias, that what happened was not the truth. He knew that. God gave him inspiration. Don't know how all that worked. But God, or Peter, addressed him. And Ananias literally fell down to the ground dead. Can you imagine me, if I would have lied to you all? And because of that lie, I would literally fall to the ground here, and I was gone because of that lie. Can you imagine the sobriety that would settle upon all of us here if that was me? Can you imagine the level of fear? Actually, it says that fear fell on all men. Fear fell on all the people. Can you imagine what would happen if I would have lied to you all and the judgment of God would come down upon me and I would fall over dead? Can you imagine what they would do right here? Right here. And you'd, you know, those people that would have to carry me out. You know, it doesn't, you know, almost seems like there wasn't even a funeral. They went and buried him. Just, I don't know how that works. Then it happened two times. His wife came in and they asked her the same question and she fell over dead. Listen to this. I'll turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and we'll just read through there. A pursuit of God. Acts chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why hath God filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? While it remained, was it not thine own? See, he wouldn't have had to bring it. He wouldn't have had to bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet. He wouldn't have had to do that. You know, was it not thine own? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man rose, won him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and burying her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I'll stop there. Now, here's the point. I wonder about our pursuit of God and trying to understand how God really looks at being holy. What is holiness? What is sin? And my level of trying to understand how God really is. As I look and try to understand a holy God, and my mind, my thoughts, all those things get shaped, the more I understand how holy He is, that will come on down and affect my life. The pursuit of knowing God. You know, getting to know God. That's number one. Number two. A pursuit to be filled with God's Spirit. Now, there is a change that happens at conversion. And there is a filling of the Holy Spirit. And I get amazed as I talk to you brothers and as we communicate out and about. This is an amazing thing. When a person gets born again, when he gets converted, when there's a washing away of the sins and a purity, all those things that wash away, and then the Spirit of God comes into a person's life, there's a change, right? That's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, some people are just sort of happy to, now I'm born again. And there's others that pursue a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Hebrews talks about how that some are on milk and others are on meat. Paul talks about people that are carnal. Are ye not carnal? There are some that pursue a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to look at what that is, what that looks like. What does it look like if we are the place where there's a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit? How does that look like? You know, what does that look like? Now, maybe a good way to illustrate that would be, I don't think that one's going to write very well. Here's a tree. And then I don't know, that's a very nice tree, but it's a tree. It's supposed to be a tree, okay, right? It's a tree. Okay. Now, Psalms talks about a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. Now, there are some trees, and I'll just sort of say it this way. We have some fruit trees in beside our driveway, and we planted them at a similar time that there's another brother from church who he loves, actually he's at Shining Light now, he loves fruit trees, and we planted them about the same time. And for us, we went and we, you know, every year we put, you know, manure around the tree, and you know, and these trees have grown up fairly nice. But you should see our trees compared to our other brothers' trees. You should see it. I mean, I can't explain the difference. His trees are so much bigger and so much nicer. And I've looked at that, and you know, one thing I have to confess is I'm not a very good tree keeper, and so my skills and all that, it doesn't help anything, right? They really don't. I mean, if you know someone, you know, if you know your you know, your trees and all that and how to take care of them. I'm not one that is skilled at that. But lay all that aside. Lay all that aside. If you look at the trunk, if you look at the trees and how they develop, his trees are way nicer than ours. And part of it has to do with a skill, maybe. But I'm going to say that when I watched his and mine those first years, you know, they've been gone for about 10, 12 years now. And when I watch both, I look at his and say, there's something about what's happening with his trees that's more than just a skill level. They're getting watered. There's something about the ground. There's something drastically different. Okay, now I would like to just describe that to say that there are some people who are converted, born again, but they're sort of in a, I don't know, it's not a dormant stage, but in a stage where, okay, planted by the rivers of water. So, growing up, we had a creek down in our field, and there's a whole row of trees right by it. And there's a big field by it, but then there's a, big trees. And these trees, their roots reach down into the water. And as a result of that, those trees grew. Okay? Now, I would like to suggest there are many Christians who are at a place where they're a little bit like our trees. They're growing, but if you ask my wife how much fruit we get each year, we sort of smile at each other. And part of that is I don't spray them properly. But, every year they do get their manure. They get their manure, but they aren't sprayed properly. But it's way more than that, okay? But let me just tell you something. There are people who are pursuing God. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, teach me your character. God, I want to be like you. God, just come, right? There are some who have a pursuit after God in that way. And let me tell you something. They're growing. There's fruit coming. Then there's others that the apples are pretty small and they have a lot of bugs in them. And they're not nice and juicy. Now, I just, we've been eating apples. We walk out and we grab apples and we eat them and they're sort of good. But actually, they are good. But if I compare them to a nice juicy apple like they're supposed to be, it's not there. And we went and got some cider made out of the apples we have, and whew, that's good stuff, But let me tell you, the fruit that's coming is not like it could be over here. It's not. Now, I want to just talk about our pursuit for the Holy Spirit and to have him fill us more and more. I want to talk about that, okay? I want to talk about that. Now, in John chapter 16, if you want to turn there with me, John chapter 16, we want to look at a couple of those verses. John chapter 16, verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you of the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's the privilege of us being in a New Testament era. He has sent the Holy Spirit to us today. He's here. We have him. Now let's look at three of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do. We're going to look at a couple verses here. Verse 8 says, And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin. Now he explains this. He says, of sin because they believe me not. not on me, excuse me, of sin because they believe not on me. So what he's saying here is, I came and I walked around with you for 3 years. In fact, I was with you all 30 years, but for 3 years I've walked around you. I've been with you, I've taught you. And you were right with me, and I taught you about sin, and you simply didn't believe me. You just kept on sinning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes to you all, so what happens here is something happens and we have the Holy Spirit and we get convicted, right? That conviction of the Holy Spirit is there. Now, when that conviction comes, I don't know if I can try to get to the heart of the thing, but somehow the more that we beg God for more of that Spirit of God, the more sensitive we become of sin. We understand the holiness of God more. It becomes more real to us because we're, you know, that Spirit of God within us is teaching us of sin. It's not just Jesus telling us. So Jesus, you know, in those 3 years when the disciples were there, the conviction of the Spirit of God was not there. He hadn't sent him. Jesus preached, but there's no conviction there. They chose. But now, if the more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more we understand and the more in tune we are of sin, the more we understand it. And here's my point. I'm afraid there's too many that are not sensitive to the Spirit of God pointing out sin in our life. And the more sin we are, or the more of the Spirit of God we have, the more we have this spiritual understanding and all that. You know, because of our knowledge and understanding of God, just we become what God really wants us to be. And then he says, of righteousness. And he says, they, in verse 10 it says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. What he's saying here is, I walked with you for 3 years. And you could look at me, and all the things that I did was right. It was righteousness. Now I'm going to be gone, and you won't have that example anymore. And because you won't have that example anymore, you can't look at me anymore, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit so that my Holy Spirit can give you understanding of what right living is all about. I won't be here with you anymore. Okay, so if we daily, we're saying, God, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need a greater understanding of what right living is all about, what righteousness is. See, the more we have the Holy Spirit, the more understanding is there. It's there. Not only there, we have power to become that. And the third one is of sin. Because they believed not, of judgment, verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Because of judgment, he's simply saying the Holy Spirit is going to convict you and he will show you that there is a judgment coming and he will give you a fear of God because of that. He will bring a fear of God upon your life. Now, I don't know if I conveyed the heart of all that. I'm trying to, you know, if we shake everything down, the more that we understand, the more we have the Spirit of God within us, the more we understand sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that's who we become. But many are not pursuing the Spirit of God. And thus, they have these small fruit like we have on our tree beside our driveway. I mean, you're allowed to look over. I mean, I think they're all gone right now, but the trees just look a little bit scrubby. And we had these apples about this big. All right, this big. Is that the size an apple ought to be? Tell me. Not at all. We should have nice big apples this big, right? But our apples are this big. And they have all these dimples in them. And these, I don't know how to describe them, but they weren't the nice, they weren't the apples that, that are appealing that we really like. But they were fruit, right? Yeah, they were fruit. But, I'm going to say there's a lot more to be had. If we pursue God in that way, what we will become is so much more. Here's another one. A pursuit to have the character of God. Now, I'm just going to read a little list here of the character of God. He's pure, he's holy, he's just, he's gentle, he's long-suffering, he's kind, he has love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, goodness, and faith. Now, if you would come and you'd walk right beside me every day, and you would really get to know me like really, really close, and all the stuff that I do and don't do, you would come to discover something. You would come to discover something. You would discover that I'm not where I ought to be on all of these. Now, do you follow that? I'm afraid you'd maybe think, wow, Mark isn't who I thought he really was. Okay? You might just think that way. Now, I'm saying that to say that I think I do have the fruit of the Spirit, and I trust all of us have. But what I'm trying to portray is that whole list. How much do we want? How deep do we want that? How much of that do we want to just be flowing out of our life? You know, maybe you'd come and say, wow, it is there. I just don't see any, but I don't think that would be the case. You know, I think you'd find some that you'd say, wow, I'm disappointed with that. Now, I would like to think that, most of them would be there. I'd like to think that way, but all right, but I say this, how much of the character of God would you like? How much? There are people who really, they're not pursuing a deeper character. They're not seeking to be conformed into the image of Christ. There are those people. And how horrible, if we're not seeking to be filled with the Spirit or with these characteristics of God, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just going to say there are people. Let me just read here. It says temperance. It says goodness. It says meekness. Let me just tell you, there are people who are not in the least bit meek. Am I saying that right? And they're just sort of okay with that. There are people who I'm going to say are very rarely gentle. And they're just sort of all right with that. And there's people who have very little temperance, and they're just sort of all right with that. You know, just sort of okay. Now, I think all of us, you know, we have a lot of love, and I think all of us, you know, we're really kind, and I think all of us are, oh, here's another one, pure. There are some of us that are sort of okay for ourselves not to be pure. Maybe there's some of us that when it comes to being just, you know what it means to be just? It's okay for us to just be a little bit crooked. just with all business dealings and all that, it's okay to just be a little bit crooked. Okay, but if we pursue God, there's something that happens as we pursue Him, those things that where maybe we aren't gentle, and those things that, you know, that maybe we don't, aren't meek all the time. There's something that continues to happen, and we become Christ-like. As time goes on and we seek the fullness of God, we seek the characteristics of God, and we say, God, I know I'm lacking. Please work these things in my heart. I want to become Christ-like in these areas. And as time goes on, guess what? We continue in our pursuit, you know, it's a decision, right? So our dear brother wouldn't have had to choose all those things in his pursuit. But our pursuit is to become Christ-like. And that happens as we pursue God, our pursuit of God. One's Brother Joe back here. He's got his old age right in there. And, you know, I'd like to think if we'd walk beside Brother Joe, we'd just see most of these things. Being pure, holy, just, gentle, long-suffering, kind, love, loving, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, goodness and faith. I like to think he's got just all that just pretty much down pat, you know. Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think there's any one of us that's all there. And it's a lifetime of God changing us. But if we have a pursuit of God, there will be a continued changing in our life. It'll be there. And if we're not changing, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. Number four, a pursuit to know God's will for my life. Now, I'm not sure how to describe this, but there are some of us that are sitting here this morning. If I would ask the question, so do you know, are you in your day-to-day life, are you in God's will? They say, yeah. I know this is where God has me. I know this is what God wants me to do. And there's others that would say, I'm not sure. And when we're talking about God's will, there are some that God has put burdens on in various areas. I mean, God has given us gifts, God has given us abilities, God has given us, you know, burdens, all kinds of things. And all of those things can equate to practical, where we have a job and, you know, but we're doing you know, various things in ministering to others, whether it's ministering to people in church, whether it's ministering to our neighbors, whether it's ministering to whether it's outreach, whether it's, there's all kinds of things that God has endowed and given us burdens and gifts and things he wants us to be pursuing. And there's some that are simply too busy to do it. There's some that simply, I'm not sure how to say it, maybe don't know how to do it. And I have a burden, but I don't know how to pursue it. There's some that just say, well, I haven't grown enough to be able to do these things. But here's my question. Are you in God's will, just in your everyday life? Do you know that you're fulfilling God's will? You're functioning just the way God wants you to, in your home, in your family. Do you know that, you know, you're functioning, the things you're doing, God is well pleased. He's well pleased. Or is that a bit of a question for you? See, the more that we pursue God, the more we understand how he thinks, his holiness, his righteousness, all the things, how he wants us to be, and the things he wants us to be doing. And I'm going to say there's too many that feel like I'm not at the place where God really wants me to be. And I'm not here to be judgmental with that at all. On any of these things, I'm simply here to say, how can we come to the place where you all know, well, this is what God wants me to be doing. And maybe he wants me to be doing something else on down the road here. But right now, I know that this is what God has for me. Praise God. And we have nudgings, and maybe he'll lead us into something else. So, you know, all that's fine. But my question is, there are things God will only give us the things, or he will only take us and move us in the things that we're faithful in. If we're not faithful in the things that he gives us, how can he give us so much more? He can't. God wants us to be faithful in the things that he's called us to. And it might be the most simple things, like baking cookies and blessing someone with them. Okay? I mean, that's a very small thing. No, it's a big thing because you should see my cookies when I bake them. But you get the picture, right? Are you at a place where you know that God's pleased with where you're at and what you're doing? And if you are, that's great. But I'm going to say that there's too many that you know God is nudging you in various things, and you're not following. See, our pursuit of God means we make decisions. We make decisions, one decision after the other. Okay? And I want to take us back to the story I gave of our dear brother in the beginning. It was his decision to go on a Saturday and drive down to Tennessee and start driving around on some of those roads. It was his decision to stop and talk to the man beside the road. It was his decision to ask more advice to try to understand. It was his decision to be pursuing the next step. It wasn't something that he sat there and one day this whole big thing just fell out of heaven and everything just happened without him even trying. But there was a pursuit, one step at a time. He followed the next step and this door opened and the next door opened and then there was another door open and then you take another step. And then you take another step. There was a pursuit. And I like to just describe that our pursuit of God is the same way. It's a pursuit where we try to understand the heart, the will of God, what He wants for my life. And even when I don't clearly understand it, I take the step that I know he wants me to take. I take maybe a real tiny step. I take maybe a real tiny step and I move forward. And then I see, well, I can take this step. And it's a decision of one step at a time. Sometimes we look at, oh, I know God wants me to do this, but there's no way I can. Well, what about this little tiny step? And what about this tiny step over here? And we're moving forward, one step, one day at a time. And my heart is not to overwhelm us. My heart is, do we have a pursuit of God? Now, let me just... I should just qualify this a little bit. In our pursuit of knowing God's will, I'm talking about our jobs. I'm talking about the time that we spend. I'm talking about our money. I'm talking about our interests. I'm talking about just our very practical life. Now, these are the four now. A pursuit to know God's holiness, a pursuit to be filled with the Spirit of God, a pursuit to have the character of God, and a pursuit to know God's will for my life. Those are the four. And what I'd like for you is to do a self-evaluation between you and God. What level on a scale from 0 to 10, with 10 being at the highest, what level would you put for each one of these for yourself? Now, let me just tell you something. With our trees beside our driveway, I'll give you an evaluation on that one. Okay? I'm going to put a 2 behind that one. Okay? The reason I'll put a 2 there is because I did spray some of the trees one time this year. You know, just pre-bloom. Okay? All right, so I'll put a 2 there. And the other one, I think I have to give my family credit. It was my family that put the manure around. I didn't. That was them. So I'll put a 4 there for them. Okay. Now, I'm saying that to say, I wonder where we can put those. Now, I don't know if you put those headings down, but I'd like for us if we could just do that. And I'm not sure how to make that everyone does it, except put it in your hands. Right? I'll just put it in your hands. I'll just put it in your hands. The overall pursuit of God. Let me just read these again. A pursuit to know the holiness of God. A pursuit to be filled with the Spirit of God. A pursuit to know, a pursuit to have the character of God. A pursuit to know God's will for my life. I'd like for us to just put an evaluation behind each one of those. A pursuit of God. I'd like to say that this tree can either have small, tiny apples that are about this big, have a lot of dimples. They're not pretty to look on. I'm going to say they're about half size. I think my family would agree with that, about half size. In our garage, we have a little basket where we purchase some nice big ones. But the ones that were out on our tree, they're no longer there. We they turned into apple cider, which is really good. But let me just ask that question very simply. Your pursuit of God, what level is it? If you're at a place where the Holy Spirit is actively working and you're pursuing Him, and your understanding of God, His Word, His will is just broadening and broadening, we will come to the place where we have good fruit. We'll come to the place where His character is just continuing to shape. We'll come to the place where our hate for sin will be so great. We look at it the way God does. All those different things, we're going to be becoming more Christ-like. We will. God help us.